Hey everyone, it's us again, me and Will. I'm Sam Stein, he's Will Summer. MAGA Mondays, back in effect. Will, how you doing, man? How was the weekend?
I'm thrilled to be back. You know, if observant viewers may notice, I appear to have gotten tatted up. But in fact, what happened was, let's see, can you, it's maybe like here?
Oh, wow. Here. Congrats.
And so in fact, I was at a child's K-pop demon hunter party and I went a little crazy with the temporary tattoos. And while they were a hit at the time, I've been paying for them scrubbing on Sunday night and it didn't work. So that's the explanation.
So they're not that temporary.
No, they might be permanent. I'll take it.
Wow, what a weekend. That sounds like a thrilling dad weekend. I picked my kid up from camp. He was gone for 3 weeks. I drove up and grabbed him. It was the greatest sensation as a parent I've felt in a long time, being reunited with my child. So that was wonderful. Yeah. He did not have any tattoos, thank God. All right, let's get into it. So we're going to talk about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez off the jump. Over the weekend, she put out a video announcing that she was freezing her eggs. Predictably, well, I'll just note she warned everyone not to get weird about it while she was doing the video. And predictably, everyone got super weird about it. So she was prescient in that respect. I guess up front, I want to acknowledge that Will and I are both men. And when we talk about this stuff, it's from a place of naivete and probably lack of full information. My credentials are very limited, but I do bring to the table the fact that my mom, up until recently, was an obstetrician gynecologist. And so I have been bred, raised in this information ecosystem. I know some of it, but I'm going to talk like a total idiot. And if I do, I apologize in advance for the commenters out there. You can scold me in the comments. Will, do you have any credentials whatsoever on this?
None. And yeah, even less than you have, I think. So I'm glad to have you here as our expert.
Okay. Let's just do our best. But I have some serious thoughts about this. So AOC goes on. She says she's going to freeze her eggs. She's 36. She has had a boyfriend for a while. She is talking about it in the context of the politicization and attacks from the administration on women who want to have children, specifically around IVF. Obviously, Trump has a weird sorted history around IVF. He promised to be, didn't he say he was like the grandfather of IVF or something like that? I don't know. And he promised to protect IVF. They have not done so while in the White House. Obviously, Republicans are the party the anti-abortion faction in the party who have been skeptical of IVF. And then, you know, there's that. That's the context.
Yeah, so I mean, blocked the Republicans in Congress, just blocked the military from covering IVF. All these different things.
Right. So that's the context here. But really what this is about, what the reaction's been about is what proper motherhood is and what proper family and child upbringing is and whether or not women should be, you know, encouraged to have children later in life as opposed to earlier in life. And so when you look at the reactions online and we can put up, well, why don't we put up her video first so people can have the context and then we'll put up the reactions online.
It is of a sensitive matter and a personal matter, and usually I keep my private life quite private, but I have made the decision to start freezing my eggs.
Okay, little clip of the video. She then, not in the video, she then injects herself. She starts treatment. Again, she's 36, and she's obviously got a very full career, and she has also hinted elsewhere that she might run for Senate, maybe even president. So there's a lot going on in her life, and then there's a lot going on potentially in the future. So that's context. Here's some of the right-wing reaction to this. Let's put it up. Okay. Okay. Now, Katie Miller on the upper left. Yeah, let's pause on Katie Miller on the left, because Katie Miller actually is the more interesting one here. Why don't you take a few of these, Will?
All right, so we've got, look, naturally my eye is drawn to Benny Johnson. He's got a thumbnail that is I believe a Photoshop here. I don't think this is actually like from her
That
video,
is a Photoshop, yes.
Of, you know, AOC pulling up her shirt and injecting her stomach, and then he's looking like, ugh. And it says, AOC shocks internet, lifts up her shirt to reveal her medical treatment to run for president. We've got Molly Hemingway. Ladies, get married to a good man as young as you're able and have your babies and do it naturally. It's a very sad public performance. Why don't you take a couple of these bad boys here?
Okay, Matt Walsh. She'll turn 37 in a couple months. If she got pregnant now, it would technically be a geriatric pregnancy. Instead, she's freezing her eggs. The desire to start having children late in life is completely baffling to me. I'll have kids in their 20s. I'll have kids in their 20s by the time I turn 50. AOC apparently wants to have a toddler at that age. Totally backwards and ridiculous. Why would she have a toddler at that age if she's in her 50s? That math doesn't
I think if the assumption is that she would get pregnant,
she's going to wait
50
what?
Or 47.
She's just going to wait 10 more years? Is that the assumption for Matt? Okay.
I think that's right.
All right. Who's the one on the right? I don't really know this.
You don't know about conservative millennial Allie Beth Stuckey?
No, I
don't. She's actually a big deal. She's deep in the kind of like evangelical mom conservative commentator sphere.
And what did she say?
So she says, well, AOC's been with the same guy for years. There's no reason she couldn't have had kids yet. She'll require IVF or surrogacy to have a baby. It's very rare that a woman's able to get pregnant after 40. Freezing your eggs is bad for your health. She's glamorized, and most importantly, I think, she's glamorizing the lie that women can have it all. You can't. Biology is real, and how you order your life makes or breaks your future.
Okay. Let's put it down for a second. I'm going to bring it back up because I do want to read Katie Miller in a little bit. But my reaction to this is, get a fucking life. Who gives a shit? Like, why do you care? This is not your life. Let her make her decisions. Why do you care? Also, isn't this supposed to be the faction of America that's encouraging children, people having children and more families? Isn't this the faction of America that says, hey, we should glorify bringing new life into this world? Why all of a sudden are you so up in arms about AOC wanting to do this? I mean, get a life, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, these folks, they hate to see a woman in control of her reproductive schedule, you know, her plans. It's interesting. There is, as you said, this is a group that is ostensibly natalist, that wants, you know, more children to be born, and yet has a lot of strictures about, you know, they want the mom to not have a job. They want, you know, these women to be having children in their early or mid-20s. You know, there is, though, and as we're going to get into with Katie Miller, I think there is a savvier, and I think more realistic faction emerging on the right that says, you know, like, for example, you could look at like the MAHA idea of parenting, which is, you know, no plastics, you know, all this stuff, and saying, well, are people really going to have that many kids if the expectation is that we have these like really regimented, like, I'll tell you, this woman at TPUSA says she won't let her kids eat fruit until they're older than two. I mean, is that really? Yeah, that's
what's the rationale behind that?
I think because there's like sugar, naturally occurring sugars in fruit. And so she doesn't look, does she have kids? No, she doesn't have kids yet. You know, she's the perfect parent already. There's all these things that I think are imposed by the conservative view of motherhood that make, you know, parenting actually pretty unrealistic.
I don't know. It's kind of bothersome to me that she's getting scolded for this, right? Like, so let's just back up for a second. She obviously got elected to Congress when she was very young. She's been working in the House, building a career. It doesn't take a genius to understand that it would have been very complicated, maybe even impossible, for her to do this, have this career if she was raising a kid. And maybe people think that that's a trade-off that you should make and that you should ultimately choose to have a child. But let's say she had a child before, when she was in her bartender years, and she was raising the kid. Is it possible that she would have not run for office? Yeah, it's definitely possible. And then she would have been, you know, had a different career path. And she chose the one that she wanted. So why do we care? And now she wants to have a child, but she maybe doesn't want to have it right this minute. Also, we don't really know the complications. All we know is that she's freezing her eggs. We don't know what other complications there are that come along or associated with it. There might be medical ones. There might be something to do with her boyfriend. We don't know. But the fact that we're not encouraging and applauding this as opposed to admonishing her for waiting is really sort of archaic to me. It does get to a sort of a view that, you know, what was the one who said you can't have it all? You have to make choices?
Allie Beth Stuckey.
Yeah. So is that, I mean.
Also, by the way, I mean, many of these women running conservative media empires like Allie Beth Stuckey here.
What?
Well, what I'm saying is that these are not people who do not have jobs themselves. You know, I mean, they're very much. They're, you know, another point here, I think we'd be amiss, and specifically about AOC, the right's psychosexual fixation on her, right? Because she is a young, vibrant, I guess, you know, good looking young woman, that, you know, the edits, the, you know, that make her look, you know, bustier, or, you know, they'll see a picture of her and they'll be say, you know, can I say something, you know, without offending anyone? Or, you know, there is this aspect of her in particular. And I think we saw that with Benny Johnson, where his headline
Benny,
was,
there's multiple layers with the Benny tweet
where he goes, well, yes, indeed. Get Dr. Freud. So the idea of making the headline, AOC lifts up her shirt.
You know, and Benny's got this face where he's like disgusted by it. Yes. It's like, okay, Benny.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That lawsuit, by the way, against Milo Yiannopoulos for saying Benny still is not dropped. I guess they're working really hard on it.
Okay. My mom's been texting me. I admit I cheated. I called her on the way in. I was like, hey, what do you think of this? She's texting me a little bit about this. You know, it's really expensive, this stuff. It is. There are cases where it's covered by federal health insurance, but that's usually fertility caused by medical reasons, not delaying childbearing. So, again, we don't know what's going on here, but it's a hugely expensive cost. And so I think AOC is trying to shine the light on that as well, which is, this is not something that you can afford necessarily when you're on a bartender salary. And she's not a rich member of Congress. She's, you know, I mean, I think I don't have the financial disclosures in front of me, but I think she routinely ranks lower in the ranks. So, you know, this is something that you might have to actually wait to do if you're not going to have kids, because you just don't have the money to do it. I will also note that, you know, all this focus on whether women are waiting too long and, you know, you have to have kids early in life. Of course, obviously, as my mom noted to me, you know, it's beneficial to start earlier in life, if only to have more retrievable embryos. You don't want to wait till your mid to late 30s. You can still do it, obviously, and we have all these medical advances, but, you know, it's like early 30s when you want to start the egg freezing process, if you want to do it with more success rates. And even if she does retrieve a number of good eggs, like, there's no guarantee it's going to work. So we just have to keep that in mind. I will just say this. There's no attention to men who have kids, elected officials who have kids when they are old. So I didn't have time to do all the research on this, but our helpful AI overview at Google does say that there have been at least three male lawmakers who've had children while in office or have children over the age of 50. Richard Blumenthal had his fourth child at the age of 52. Mitt Romney's son Josh was born when Mitt was 50. And Representative Paul Gosar had his children in life. His youngest was born after he turned 50. This is according to AI, which is infallible. Definitely never any problems with AI. So no attention to that. Just going to throw that out there. All right, which brings me to Katie Miller. Let's pull up Katie Miller. All right, so there's Katie Miller. My eyes are failing me because I'm getting old too. We have historically low birth rates worldwide. If one woman wants to preserve her right to have children, which means more than having none, we should celebrate that. If she inspires other women to have babies, we should celebrate that. More women should get married and have babies younger, but too many women buy into the feminist lie and spend their child rearing years climbing the career ladder when society has more babies and more young women and men are expected to have more babies. There will be more babies and so on, so on, so on. Thoughts on that? That was a little bit of a surprise for me.
Well, thank you for the woke take, Katie Miller. I will say there's a bit of a barb there where she bought into the feminist lie. She spent her childbearing years climbing the career ladder. Later, she says, you know, I can't wait to see how motherhood changes AOC. You know, on the other hand, you know, I mean, there is this, I feel like Katie Miller, she's on this journey of being more approachable and kind of like a more, like kind of like a mom parenting influencer, like with her podcast and everything.
Oh, yeah. You think this is the play, huh?
Well, and I mean, it may be realistic, but it is kind of funny to me. I mean, like, she's very like open about like having all, you know, her family. And she just had a kid. A lot. Yeah, and yet her husband is Stephen Miller, which is very weird and off-putting. And so, like, they have the family pictures, and it's like, oh yeah, there's the deportations guy. There he is looming. I do think the certainly more realistic approach, but ultimately, I don't think it's the one that will win the day. I think the idea, the right, they love talking about like women having like empty egg cartons or hitting the wall. I should say the wall is the belief that when a woman turns 30, she's totally unmarriageable and, you know,
really
an evil troll. They call it the wall. And so like, and ultimately, right, the dream there for them is the idea that women will panic and get married at 23 to the first guy or the first groiper they meet, rather than, you know, building the career, getting a little more independence, having more options, you know, romantically. And so I think that is ultimately what a lot of this stuff about, like, you know, you're ruined, you know, your life's over is about.
I don't want to get too far afield, but There was a story over the weekend. It's not been denied that Katie Miller back in the day had a little thing with Eric Swalwell. Does that affect her credibility at all on the right?
You know, I haven't seen a lot of discussion on the right about the Katie Miller Swalwell thing. I think I wonder maybe she's bringing to bear here. She's saying, look, we've all had textured pasts, let's say. We've all made mistakes or we've done things, you know, we spent it with dalliances, whatever. I will say the Katie Miller Swalwell thing, that's one I didn't see coming, and it's changed my view of a lot.
All right. Folks, if you're in the comments, help us do a little research for other men, maybe over the age of 45 in Congress who've had children that no one seems to have cared about or noticed. I will note Trump on the trail. We referenced this in 2024, said, quote, under the Trump administration, your government will pay for or your insurance company will be mandated to pay for all costs associated with IVF treatment, fertilization for women. I don't know if that's the quote about him being the godfather of fertilization, but if we can find that one too, that would be helpful. Finally, my last thoughts on this are that, and I'm stealing this from someone I saw online, but it did make a lot of sense to me, which is all this talk about, oh man, you know, having a kid is a full-time job and you got to have it early because if you're later in life, you can't really be an attentive parent. You're going to miss prime years. It's just going to actually, you know, sap your career, but you should have that trade-off. You should be willing to have it. That has the capacity to discourage women potentially from having kids.
And tell the fellas.
How hard your life is going to be in your 20s if you have a kid. And like, look, this is what I come back to. It's, yes, she put up the video on her own. And so she invited this conversation. So it's fine to have the conversation. And, you know, I'm glad she did it because I think it's a worthwhile conversation. I think this is what she kind of wanted. At the same time, I can't get over the fact that it's her fucking life. Like, let her live it. Like, all these people who are sermonizing about this stuff and being morally self-righteous about it, like, everyone has their own path. Good for her that she wants to do this. You can have an opinion about whether she should have started earlier, but it's not your freaking choice, you know? Like, let her do her thing.
I'm with you.
Oh, thank you, Will. I appreciate that. But you also got tatted up over the weekend. So you're just
bad. It's not all bad. You can get tatted up with your kids.
Yeah. Having a kid is great, but it is a lot of work. Let's just be real. It is a lot of work. Someone says that John Hinkenlooper had a kid when he was pretty old. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just reading the comments, so don't sue me, John Hinkenlooper, if we got you wrong. Donald Trump. Well, how old was Donald Trump when Barron was born?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, let's get
20 now.
Hold on. Right? How old was Donald Trump when Barron was born? All right. Let's see. Okay. If you had to guess, what would you say?
60?
59, according to our AI overlords. No one said boo about that. No one said boo.
They
love Barron. He's too old. He's gonna be in his 70s when Barron's bar mitzvahed, you know? Can't have that. Barron's not getting bar mitzvahed. All right, apparently we have Trump calling himself the father of fertility. Let's play it.
Became the father of fertility.
That is true.
No, it just made a lot of sense to me. She explained it well. And I hope you tell that story, what happened to you, that you were virtually attacked with a bad ruling from a court. They gave a very bad ruling, as you remember, in Alabama.
Yeah, but you stepped in and saved the day and made sure that we had nationwide access to IVF and have done so much since then, and we are so grateful.
We had something passed within 2 days after that.
That's great.
So it was really pretty amazing. Yeah.
Okay, look at that. They're so happy about encouraging fertility, but only before the age of 32. Only before the age of 32. After that, can't do it, right? That's too much. All right. Are you ready to move on? Is this too uncomfortable?
Well, you know, I do think there are areas where we have a little more expertise. to share.
Speak for yourself, man. I was raised in this milieu. All right, we're going to move on. Mom, thanks for the help with the research. Appreciate it. All right. Max Miller did not drop out.
No, the bad boy.
Okay. I admit, I rarely take an L, but I was pretty convinced he was dropping out. I just assumed it was going to happen.
I agree. You know, yeah. So, you know, now he's missed the deadline to drop out in time for Republicans to replace him. He can still drop out, but he can't be replaced at this point. I feel like typically when the whole brunt of the party is brought to bear on someone where they're just like, you got to get out now, as we saw with Graham Plattner, you know, and I think it's even more so for Republicans. They typically do drop out, but he didn't. He's hanging in there. You know, he's, I think he maybe gave a loan to his campaign, and that might be, there was some financial movement.
It was that, yeah.
That made people like, oh gosh, I guess he's really not dropping out. So he's in there. Republicans are stuck with him. You know, we didn't talk last month, MAGA Monday, because it happened after, but like a lot of the Blue Bunny stuff came out where, you know, he put up these texts where he was like, I was not withholding my daughter's Blue Bunny. You can look at these texts where I say only certain people, approved people, will be allowed to bring the Blue Bunny back to my daughter. You sent the wrong guy, and so I am withholding it. And it's like, that was the pro Max Miller case. He's just a crazy guy. He seems to be a very, very bad dad, and now he's still in the race.
Yeah, the reason I thought he would drop out is because I think it's a little bit inaccurate to say the whole brunt of the party was pushing him to drop out. There was definitely a lot. Like a couple senators came out and were like, no, you got to go. Marino obviously said he was unfit. You had polling data that showed he had like completely cratered in his district. But you also had Trump being like, I feel for the guy. And then you had Mike Johnson being like, let's not talk about this. Which I guess gave him enough wiggle room to stay in the race. And this just is like, you know, kind of classic in a way, which is this is the Trumpian playbook. And he even said it. He was like, I can't leave because, first of all, he said, I can't leave because I don't want to admit guilt. Or that would be sort of tantamount to an admission of guilt. And then he also was like, Donald Trump gave me the template for staying in office after the Access Hollywood tapes, and I'm going to follow that template. That's more or less what he said. And I feel like that is the now prevailing ethos. If this guy can do it, why can't I?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think we've seen that really ever since the Access Hollywood tape, is that like, you know, there's a good chance you can weather it. And let's say he even loses his election. Well, he can continue to say, you know, well, I'm innocent, whatever, you know, versus dropping out is, as he said, I mean, it is sort of a tacit admission of guilt, even though he's kind of dead to rights here. I mean, there's a lot of evidence against him.
Yeah, there is a lot of evidence against him. He has not done well by himself with his public appearances, where he's basically been like, yeah, you know, we haven't talked about this. His whole thing about the needles were testosterone replacement therapy needles. Like, why was he doing that at 35? I know it's big on the right, but like that was a couple of years ago. But
he should join the army. You know, Hegseth will give him the TRT. you know, yeah, these guys, one of the most animating issues for conservative American men is that they essentially can't get recreational testosterone. This is a huge problem for them. And this is why Hegseth did it. And now this is why, you know, Max Miller, I mean, these guys love it. And, you know, for him in particular, this is a guy who already has some anger issues, it would seem. And so if I was a doctor, I would say no way. But hey, fellas love it. You know, I'm in the gym and I see these guys. And
are you injecting yourself?
You know, I haven't gotten to that point. I'm often accused of being ejected. The gym says, hey, this is not a steroids gym. And I say, I'm not on steroids. It's all natural. They say there's no way. But, you know, I do see some of these guys and I wonder, you know, and I do think, you know, as our society, we're in a very image conscious
moment. Sorry, are there steroids gyms?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I went to one. We were out at Indie Fest in Las Vegas, and I wanted to go to a kind of a famous gym, and I won't say its name, but I went out there and I was like, holy moly, this makes the Gold's Gym Capitol Hill look like, you know, a bunch of weaklings.
I got to check these things out. So you don't do testosterone replacement therapy yet?
No, I'm on the old stuff from the 90s that's like really dangerous. No, I'm just
what kidding. Is that? Yeah, I wish. Good luck. So they're going to lose the seat, huh? There's no, I mean, maybe not. I don't know. But it does seem pretty bad for Republicans. Aren't the people on the right, aren't like the MAGA folks being like, hey, you're going to lose?
You know, I do think there was this push. Obviously, there was a sense that like, And of course, we know this isn't how it really works. But like, if enough people who work for National Review tweet, like, drop out, you know, he'll leave.
That's not how it works, buddy.
No. And, I mean, Max Miller, he's, I think, a guy who would be willing to do all those disastrous interviews. He's not reading the room. He's not leaving.
Who is left defending Max Miller? Is there anyone?
I mean, only Donald Trump and the Speaker of the House.
It's like,
his few remaining allies.
Like, the most low-level internet trolls are like, actually, this is too much. But my judge is like, we got to let this process play out. Got to wait for the ethics committee to investigate this thing, which is what Max Miller wanted, so he could just run out the clock. I mean, that's the play here, right? Max Miller's just like, hey, this thing's being investigated. I got to just stay put.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that was the genius of it. I mean, when people were saying, oh, he's calling for a House ethics probe, what a foolish decision. But we've seen this before, is that, I mean, these things take a year or whatever. I mean, we saw old Chuck Edwards, who just finally dropped out for creeping on interns. And so, you know, in this case, clearly this open, once you get a case open, it was kind of like when they were like, well, we'll have the FBI investigate Brett Kavanaugh. Once you have a case open, you could say, I just defer it. And everyone, when they're asked about it, other politicians, they can say, I'm just waiting on the results of the investigation.
Gotta wait on the results.
And it just goes off into the ether. Yes.
It's such a classic playbook. It's amazing. What would be the version of that for our newsroom? I can't even think about the parallel for her. All right, so Max Miller, stick and put, everyone can have fun with that. It's creepy, it's weird. I don't see how he can continue to do media, because every time he does it, he looks worse than before. But that's that. Next topic. Actually, before we get to the next topic, I've been doing a little bit of side research here, just going to the first topic for a little bit, some data points, and then we'll get to the next topic. Usha Vance recently had a child, 40 years old, okay? Melania Trump, when she had Barron, 35. So younger than AOC, but not by much. Carolyn Leavitt's husband, 60. He just had a kid. So it seems to be selective here in terms of when you're upset that people are too old to have children. Did any of those influencers get upset with Usha?
No, not that I saw. And you know, Caroline Leavitt and her husband, obviously a famous May-December romance, but I'm glad that, you know, they're, you know, hey, more kids, why not?
Let them do what they want to do. Let them have kids at their own timeline. It's fine. It's going to be okay. Sure, there are benefits to having kids earlier and spending more time with your children. That's great. You can have that position. I do too. But everyone has their own journey. Got to respect it. All right. This one, it just kind of popped up only because I follow Mike Lee on Twitter, and I legitimately have no clue what is going on. But I saw Mike Lee get super mad on Twitter about, well, not really super mad. It's just Mike Lee being – basically my assumption now when I see him based on Mike Lee tweet is that he's been kind of like he's been completely convinced by something radically stupid that he saw on the internet briefly, and he thinks it's real. In this case, he tweets, dumb move, Coke. Can we put up a tweet? Let's put up a tweet if you have it. Dumb move, Coke. Jesus will win over Coca-Cola every single time. And sure, yeah, I would take Jesus over Coca-Cola. It's fair enough. But what the hell is he talking about, Will?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. Basically, Coca-Cola has this way that you can generate a custom can. So instead on the side, when instead of saying Coca-Cola or along with that, you can have a message. You can say like, happy birthday, Sam, or whatever. But in this case, people, and this is kind of a throwback to like, I feel like a few years ago we saw these more where people would mess around with these like custom Nike shoe things. And they'd say, well, I can't say Jesus, but I can say something. I can say Hitler rules or whatever. And then they would get like really frothed up about it. So in this case, there's this TikTok. Maybe we have that TikTok. But basically, it was this guy who he seems to have just messed around a lot with his generator. And it said, well, you can't say Jesus is good. And there's a lot of things about Jesus you can't say. I think because, you know, Coca-Cola's like, look, we don't want to meddle in the whole Jesus thing. You know, that's kind of another sphere. But they didn't put a word ban on, like, Satan. So you can put Satan is good, but you can't say Jesus is good. Or you can say there was another one. You could say Allah is good. That's what got them really fired up. And this is the origins of this controversy. Now, how on earth would this be an issue? What is the larger implication here? Is it that Coca-Cola doesn't like Jesus? I mean, that's kind of what Mike Lee's saying here.
It's the idea that someone inside Coca-Cola made the proactive decision to have word bans on these customized labels, and they put Jesus in the word ban, but not Allah. That's the controversy.
Yeah. I mean, it got people whipped up in a frenzy. Now, I will say, to the conservative influencer's credit, it does appear that you could say Jesus is bad, which I, you know, because I thought there was just like a blanket ban on Jesus. So I was like, okay, that's fine. That makes sense. But then it is like, well, why can't you say Jesus is bad? I don't know. But like, ultimately, it kind of reminds me of these things where it's like Candace Owens pores over Erica Kirk's records. And she's like, well, here it says she was born this day. And here it says she was born 3 days later. And you go, oh, okay, I guess that is a little weird. But like, what's the point? What's the import of that? And in this case, it's like Coca-Cola is not the famously anti-Jesus company. They're not a famously pro-Jesus company. And they're kind of just, they make sodas. So it's a weird one.
But I guess they're pro-Allah. Oh, we have the TikTok that you're referring to. Let's put it up.
The first entry we're going to try is the devil is king. No issues with the devil is king. Now let's try Jesus is king. Suddenly, we get an error. You can see here they say, we worked hard to get this right.
Wow. They're fired up. You know, the other thing I would note here is that Jesus is king is like, and they're going to get mad at me about this, but this is sort of it's useful because it's a very innocuous term. You're like, oh yeah, you're a Christian. You think Jesus is king. That makes sense. But they're very into like people like Jack Posobiec, these other right-wing figures are using it as a cudgel against Jewish conservative commentators. Cause they'll say, well, won't you say that Jesus is king? And they're like, no, I'm Jewish. Like, you know, you can do your own thing. It's not my thing. And so they use it, particularly it's kind of like the broader Groiper fight, the broader fight over Charlie Kirk. This Jesus is king thing is—
They're asking just Jews to say Jesus is king and as like what, a test of some sort?
I mean, they use it to sort of like highlight that someone is Jewish. And then you have these people.
But yeah.
Who are Christians who are sort of affiliated with Ben Shapiro. And they'll say, well, you guys are saying this because you're being anti-Semitic. You're trying to make a point about that someone's Jewish. And they'll say, whoa, I'm just saying Jesus is king. You guys must be anti-Christian. So it's sort of like the okay sign where people would like, it had this meaning that they knew. And then when people would say, oh, you're doing that because that's an alt-right thing, they'd say, whoa, it's just the okay sign.
I mean, my brain is pretty broken by this, honestly. And you've explained things very well. You're great at explaining things, but this doesn't make any sense. Like, why would they just go around and be like, hey, Jew, say Jesus is king. Oh, you don't believe it? You must be Jewish. Yeah, I'm Jewish.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's this kind of like, it kind of gets you bogged down in this thing where you're like, oh, that's interesting. You wouldn't say Jesus is king because you're Jewish. Everyone, notice this guy is Jewish.
Like, yeah, I am Jewish. I don't get this whole thing. Why is Mike Lee involved in this? Why is his internet-addled brain picking up on this stuff?
Remember a few months ago when the Defense Department said Mormons weren't a religion, essentially, or they were Christian?
Oh, he lost his mind.
And Mike Lee flipped out. So he's still deep in the culture war on Twitter.
What's your honest take on him? Like, you've seen like people whose brains have been broken by the internet. You know the type. If anyone could diagnose this, it's you. Like, is he broken?
Yeah, it's my professional opinion that his brain is broken.
Honestly, I'm dead serious. Well, no, what do you think's going on?
You know, it's funny, like the Mike Lee thing, because I remember when he was kind of like a Tea Party guy and he was sort of seen as this constitutional scholar, finally like a real, like we're going to get a real mind in Congress. And then he's like, I mean, to put it crassly, he seems like dummy than Tommy Tuberville. Like, he's just like falling for these like internet hoaxes, for these like pranks, these like insane culture war froth things. So I do think as soon as he made his Twitter handle based Mike Lee, I think someone should have stepped in.
Yeah. So you just need people around you to say, hey, like, you've gone too far. And I don't think he has that. Quick programming update, actually, before we go to break. On last week's MAGA Monday, we said, I believe, or no, was that with the with Tim? I forget which one it was, but we did say that we were going to get Marjorie Taylor Greene on Cameo. Was that you? Was that a MAGA Monday? Or
was that a trio? That was a trio.
That was a trio. Okay. So for folks who are watching, we did hit the metric of 100 subscribers And so we are in the process of efforting Marjorie Taylor Greene cameo. It hasn't been procured yet, but we're going to do it. Okay. It's just a matter of like getting it done. But I also like the idea of us setting metrics and giving people an incentive to subscribe. But what I really want you to do is to pay to subscribe, because we need, you know, money to like sustain the operations. We're not broke or anything. We just need money to like, you know, keep the operations going. And so if you can do us a favor and subscribe, but not just for free, if you're so inclined and you like what you're hearing, pay for it. I will come up with something that I haven't thought of yet, but I will come up with something truly embarrassing to do on the next MAGA Monday. I want 100 paid subscribers. I have a hat that says, did you know this about me? I like Riesling wine.
No.
I love a good Riesling wine. Everyone thinks it's odd, but I think Riesling wine is delicious. It's very sweet. And I have a hat. People make fun of me. My friends make fun of me. They got me a hat that said Riesling. I will wear my Riesling hat. Is that a good enough incentive? For MAGA Monday, if I can get 100 paid subscribers on this. All right. With that, we do have to pay the bills. So we're going to go to our sponsor. Let me just scroll for it. Hold on 1 second, 1 second, 1 second, 1 second, 1 second, 1 second. Here we go. So, because we're all high. This message is sponsored by Soul. Lately, I've been thinking a little bit more about how I actually want to feel throughout the day. When I'm socializing, winding down, or just trying to relax, I don't necessarily want to default to a drink. That's why I love Soul's Mood Gummies. Soul is a wellness brand that makes delicious hemp-derived CBD and THC products designed to make feeling good simple. Soul's new Mood Gummies have precise dosing, clean ingredients, and formulations designed for predictable effects so you can choose how you want to feel while staying in control. There are three different moods, depending on what you're looking for. Uplift for a bright, energetic feel, mellow for a winding down, and balance for that easy, anytime vibe. I will say this. This is the truth. Dead serious. Sometimes we embellish, but this is true. I had a nice, good balance gummy right before I went and I saw The Odyssey, and it was great. The Odyssey's pretty good, but only if you're taking balance gummies from Soul. Whatever the moment, there's a Soul Mood Gummy to match. Make today a good day and get yourself some Soul Gummies. Right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to getsoul.com and use the code BulwarkTakes. That's getsoul.com, promo code BulwarkTakes for 30% off. You see The Odyssey yet?
No, I haven't. But now that I know that you recommended on Soul Gummies, I can't wait. Like they're turning into pigs, man.
Whoa! Why does he only have one eye? What's going on? Am I really high? Holy shit. Okay. Your boy, James Fishback. When the hell is this primary? It feels like it's going forever.
Well, you know, Brendan here at the office, he's a big Fishback watcher as well. And he's just been like, I never want this primary to end. We are really blessed that Florida has this like astoundingly late primary. I believe it's a week from Tuesday.
You believe?
So
yeah, we don't know.
And now we're going to do a segment about it. Yes. So basically, James Fishback, look, folks. He's got a colored history. He's up to no good. He's $1.5+ million in debt. He's running for governor of Florida. He's a groiper. So there are a couple of James Fishback items. Number one, last week he was saying, I have shocking news about my opponent, the Trump endorsed Byron Donalds, the guy who's almost certainly going to win this race. He's engaged in a felony, some serious crimes. Then he did this press conference. And I will say, he always does this press conference. It's like some government building. I don't know if it's like the registrar's office or something. But like you can see people are like filtering in. So there was like a woman pushing like a stroller with a baby.
We have the presser. Should we play it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's play it.
This investigation has now expanded to include
it's a division of elections.
Congressman Byron Donalds, who along with Corey Mills is under investigation for federal sex trafficking.
So that's the allegation. So it's
Hold on. We have to play it again. Just before we play it though, he's pretending like he's a spokesperson for like the government coming out there.
You know what? You're right. Yes.
He's pretending like he's a spokesperson for the government, saddened to announce these horrible charges and like the crestfallen look on his face. He's never dressed that fancy anyway, but now he's dressed up and he's like, I'm so sorry to say that these allegations. Let's play it one more time. It's so short.
This investigation has now expanded to include U.S. Congressman Byron Donalds, who along with Corey Mills is under investigation for federal sex trafficking.
Oh my God, he's like holding back tears. So what this allegation is that he claims he, a whistleblower, I guess from the Justice Department, approached him and said, but obviously Corey Mills, folks, one of the most notorious serving members of Congress, all of these various allegations, domestic violence, all these things. So he has some kind of friendship or did with Byron Donalds. There are pictures of them hanging out together. So this has kind of dogged Byron Donalds somewhat. There is, you know, he's not a guy you want to have a lot of photos with, but there was never an idea that this was like he was implicated in some crime. So now Fishback is saying he heard from the Justice Department that Byron Donalds is part of the Corey Mills investigation, that they've kind of cottoned on to, you know, something involving Corey Mills here. And so that is the allegation. He doesn't really get into it, but he says, you know, this is sort of a more in sorrow than in anger situation. He says, you know, I've instructed my campaign, don't run any ads about this, as though there's any money to run ads in the Fishback campaign.
Unbelievable. You
know, at all. So that's where we are. And then the Justice Department themselves weighs in.
Okay, yeah. So the DOJ puts out this tweet that says, can we put it up on the screen there? All right. False accusing someone of being under investigation is a dangerous form of weaponization. This claim is not true. Congressman Byron Donalds is not under investigation. DOJ normally doesn't do this stuff. Obviously, no. they threw Donalds a big bone here, but yeah.
And they did this actually last week for Anna Paulina Luna as well, another Republican
congresswoman
from Florida. There was a Wall Street Journal article, or I believe it was the Journal, that had a story. It was like about the concept of like insider trading on like Kalshi and Polymarket and Congress. And there was some suggestion that like she had helped someone, you know, make a bet. And that basically DOJ put out a thing. They gave her a letter that said she's not under investigation. So this, I feel like if it was a Democratic lawmaker, I think they'd say, you know, why don't we let you just enjoy that cloud of suspicion?
Yeah, they would definitely not intervene for that. That's for sure. Very selective. Okay, election is on August 18th. We have the date. Finally, it's going to get done. We'll be rid of this nonsense. I don't think Fishback's going to win.
I agree.
I know. I have been like a little bit nervous about it, but now I have the right to change my tune. I don't think he's going to win.
This one, his Polymarket chances really went down after this.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, what do you think is Polymarket? So, okay, I have two different Kalshi. I'm a Kalshi guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not Polymarket. What do you think the going bet is right now for him to
Is he
be,
down to like 3%?
I asked you, what do you, you're, don't you're not supposed to ask me. I'm asking you.
Well, I think he's down to like 3%. 1%.
You think 3?
Yeah, I think 3.
1.5.
Okay.
He was at 3.5. He was up at 3.9 July 19th. But he peaked a long time ago. He's been going steadily down. He was at 2. You know, a week ago he's at 2. No, 2 days ago he's at 2. It's falling. So his height was at 25.6%, but that was December 2025.
That's crazy.
People are idiots. There is one other, though, and this is a more interesting bet. What percentage of the primary vote do you think he will get? Now, they say there's a couple options. What do you think people say he will get at least 10%? This is a crazy bet.
Like 40%?
57% believe he'll get at least 10% of the vote.
Maybe.
27% think he'll get at least 15% of the vote.
Well,
I don't know, man.
If I could share the other Fishback story, which is also
go funny. For it.
So Fishback famously once ran an anti-woke debate startup. He allegedly groomed one of the high school students involved there, went on to get engaged to her, you know, blah, 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 blah. So now there's a new lawsuit from another high school student involved, who, by the way, Fishback, she says, was texting her a lot, which I was involved in debate in high school. I was not getting texted by the head of the debate program saying, oh, you got to keep doing debate. But anyways, she was the national champion of anti-woke debate. And overall, in the scholarships, she should have received $11,000 from Fishback's organization. Now, look, this guy's in debt up to his eyeballs. You know, his campaign thought the couch was going to get repossessed. The cars are getting repossessed.
I forgot about that. You know, yeah.
I'm sorry. If you're a high school student who got ripped off by James Fishback, you're at the back of the line.
You're not going to get paid.
So now she's suing for the $11,000 that he owes her in scholarship money. And I have to say, reading these text messages, it is so crazy where she's like, okay, I won. I'm ready to get paid now. And then it's like 2 months after the scholarship was supposed to be delivered. And then he says, well, oh, yes, actually, if it's over $10,000, that's delivered on a semester by semester basis. Oh, that's great. I'm just trying to pay for college. And then all of these texts where she's saying, hello again, regarding that scholarship. And he's like, oh, hey, hey, you know, she said, I texted you last week. And he said, that's a Sunday. We don't work on Sundays. Oh, okay. You know, and it's all these, and it's just over the course of like a year where he's just saying like,
you're not going to get paid, lady.
Can you send the bank account stuff in again, you know, 3 months after that. And, you know, she eventually got, she got three grand out of him, but I think he still owes her $8,000. But I mean, it's just such a, like this poor high school student who's saying, I don't want this to affect our friendship. And then he says, I can't believe you've got a lawyer involved. And I mean, it's just really the idea of bullying like an 18-year-old is just crazy.
I feel for her. She ain't going to get paid though. All right. We got some, we got like three other things we got to get through here. Yeah. So let's start with the one that got my goat. Donald Trump, serial online poster, really ripping through him over the weekend as he tends to do in between golf. He posted this about Joe Biden, okay? Biden isn't even a 100 handicap, and he has a picture that's not – obviously, it's, I'm pretty sure it's AI – of Biden taking a whack, maybe the world's – it's definitely AI – the world's largest divot leaning over and ha, 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 ha. Okay, just leave it up for a second. It's not abnormal for Trump to post mocking things of Joe Biden. He mocks Joe Biden all the time. It was the timing of the post that really got to me, and – I'll tell you why. So that post was made on Friday night, August 7th at 10:16 p.m., as you can see right down there in the bottom right. And the reason I thought that was obnoxious is because it was just a couple hours earlier, maybe about 5 or so hours earlier, where Hunter Biden did an interview with the BBC. It was a tweet about it at 5:19, so about 5 hours earlier, where the BBC notes that the interview, and in the interview, Hunter Biden talked about how his father, Joe Biden, how his cancer has spread into his bones, metastasized, and that he's living a life of abject pain and it's difficult. And obviously, I think we can infer from that that Joe Biden's obviously dying. And it takes a real lack of humanity and a true absence of sensitivity to mock a guy for his bad golf game when you are hours after his son reveals that his cancer has spread. And I just, it got me thinking, and I don't want to go there necessarily, but I'm nervous at what Trump will say when or if Joe Biden dies while Trump is still in office. I fear for what that statement looks like. Hope he can figure out how to just either not say anything at all or muster up something decent. But the Rob Reiner episode really comes to mind. And I thought about that when I saw this. And I just wanted to get that off my chest. You don't even have to say anything, Will, if you don't want to.
No, I mean, I was going to bring up the Rob Reiner thing as well. I think you're right to flag this issue. I mean, I think after, you know, Rob Reiner and his wife were murdered, you know, in the most just insane way and just awful, terrible stuff. The idea that Trump, you know, I think less than 24 hours later was saying, you know, oh, wacko Rob Reiner or whatever. You know, I think we can only expect the worst when Biden dies.
It's awful. It's unbelievable that we actually have to even think these things or that they're fairly legitimate possibilities. I can't fathom it, but here you have this dude just mocking Biden for being bad at golf, which he's not, by the way, but mocking for being bad at golf hours after his son says his cancer spread. Nice guy. All right, on to a more lighthearted thing. Dean Cain. He seems to be like a little bit perplexed that Abdul Sayed played high school football. Dean Cain, let's put up a tweet. Has anyone seen the photo of Michigan Senate candidate El Sayed playing high school football? Says he was captain of the team, but I can't find a single photo. Internet, please do your thing. There was a follow-up tweet as well that he put, and here we go. He had to show off that here he is in 10th grade playing football in 1981 at Santa Monica High School. Someone please get post a photo of, and he uses El Sayed's full name, playing high school football 20 years later. His website says he was captain. There must be photos if this was the case. And he tags Elsie just for the hell of it. Is this the new birtherism?
I think so. I think this one's going to catch on. You know, people love, you know, kind of finding something. You know, I'm sure if a picture does emerge, they'll say, oh, it's not true. You know, Dean Cain, just go on yearbooks.com, you know, do a little digging. I have to say, you know, obviously, I think you're right that Dean Cain kind of just wanted to show he had a cool looking football picture there. It's very action oriented. You know, there's no great virtue in playing high school football. I myself played. I was this.
You did.
Yeah, my school had five football teams. I was on the freshman B team, second and a half string as a defensive tackle. So, you know, at the end of the year when I went to turn in my equipment, the coach was like, "And who are you? What's your name? Whatever." So, but, you know, look, I, you know, obviously didn't make me the man I am today, of course. But, you know, nonetheless, I don't go around touting it.
That's funny. I'm now looking at the replies to Dean Cain's tweet where people have posted a mix of AI photos of El Said in like weird uniforms and dresses, but also the actual high school football photo of El Said. So it does exist. It is, you know, it's not birtherism so much as you remember how they always were like, where is Obama's transcripts? Or like they were convinced that he didn't actually get good grades and they were like demanding that he release his transcripts.
Yeah. And I mean, it's also like sort of an attack on El Said's Americanism, right? Because how foreign can he be if, you know, similarly with Obama, like how foreign can he be if, you know, he was a high school football team captain, isn't that great? But in fact, you know, there's no way, you know, he was at the madrasa or whatever.
Right. So that's that. Well, I have a feeling this one will get resolved fairly quickly. I've been noticing El Said likes to clap back at these folks. I think Dean Cain's probably a little bit too low on the totem pole for him to care or give a shit. But he did go after Trump a couple times. I don't know if you saw those videos. Do you see those ones?
No.
Where, there was one where some reporter was like, Trump says you're full of shit. And El Said is like, well, at least I don't let mine out in the Oval Office. And the joke is that Trump pooped himself.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
there we go. That's where we're at. Okay. Last, but very much not least, you got to take this one because I tried reading this article, honestly.
Yeah.
And I couldn't make it through. It was too hard to follow.
Albania.
Albania. This involves Jared. You do it.
Jared and Ivanka resort update. You know, this is one of the MAGA Monday is the leading Albania turmoil podcast based in the United States. That runs on Mondays.
No one covers this like us. It's true.
So the Wall Street Journal. So a few weeks ago, we got the introduction of an interesting character named Artu Shehu, an Albanian but transnational allegedly criminal who claims to own the land that Jared and Ivanka are trying to build their resort on that has caused so much turmoil, almost brought down the Albanian government, caused all these protests. Now, the Wall Street Journal, thankfully, did a deep dive into his history. Now, this is a gentleman. There he is. Looks like a trustworthy guy. Can we get the other picture we have of him? This is him from the 90s. Oh my gosh. There he is. It looks like he's on a speedboat. Now it's good that he's on a speedboat because allegedly among his other, you know, misdeeds, he was smuggling, you know, goods and immigrants in between Italy and Albania. This is a guy with a rap sheet a mile long. He allegedly ran a gelato restaurant with the Italian mafia. Now he's actually based in the United States. He's, you know, accused of, you know, being involved in a scheme to smuggle cocaine through fruit shipments. And this is the guy.
Sorry, I thought stuffing the coke in the watermelon, a literal one.
Maybe stuffing the coke in his neck. Look at that neck.
That neck is long.
So this guy, he's an interesting character. Jared's sort of in business with him. They've allegedly paid him $240 million for the land. That money's been frozen. Now, what I also find interesting here is supposedly he may not even own the land. You have a lot of villagers. There's a tiny little village related to this flamingo lagoon. They, you know, this all dates back to the Ottoman Empire. The Wall Street Journal has given me a history. Things are very complex in old Albania. I would personally not try to build a multi-billion-dollar resort there. So basically, there's all these land issues. This guy has been accused of essentially money laundering by claiming he has this land, forging documents that date back to the Ottoman Empire. So this is like the Grand Vizier stamped this. There's a court case where they erase the name of the guy who actually owns the village land and write Artur Shehu's grandfather's name on it, or great-grandfather. So it's a huge mess. This guy seems untrustworthy, and yet he's Jared and Ivanka. They're in up to their necks, as you might say.
Why would they So just so I understand, Jared through his fund gave him $240 million. He like did all the due diligence.
Yes, and
like,
the yeah, Gulf investors the land. who are also involved in this. Yes, it may be a form of title fraud essentially, because the villagers say, "Well, it's our village."
But I read it, the villagers tried to reach out to Jared saying, "Don't do it."
Yes. The villagers said, look, because this is a decades old court case with this alleged gangster. And the villagers are saying, you know, this gangster is trying to steal our land and, you know, don't trust him. He doesn't really own the land. Jared went ahead anyway. I'm sure from his perspective, it's probably easier to deal with this gangster. So it's a complex case. And I'm starting to believe this resort may not come to fruition after all.
Well, the flamingos are grateful for this. Is this guy, do we know where this gangster is now? Like, is he like he's physical location?
He's based in the United States. I believe he claims asylum here. This is crazy. The people who get asylum here versus who doesn't. He claimed he was being hunted by communist gangs in Albania in the post-Soviet Albania. I mean, I will say the mess that is Albania, you know, in terms of its properties, because it's like you're dealing with all these different empires. You're dealing with, de-Soviet or post-communism, all these post-collectivization. So it seems really unclear who owns a lot of the land there.
Jesus Christ, what a mess. Is he going to get his money back? Not that I care, but I'm just sort of curious.
I don't know. You know, I mean, Victor Shea, Artur Shea, who's an interesting guy, I could see the government just being like, you know what, maybe we'll hang on to this.
Yeah, probably. All right, and last but not least, I got to go to Roger Stone. So Roger Stone... First of all, if you don't know who Roger Stone is, just do a little Googling. He's the grandfather of rat fuckery. He, the ultimate dirty trickster in politics. And he's stuck around. I mean, he's a Nixon character, and he's got to be, you know, how old do you? I should look
this up. Probably in his 80s.
Roger Stone, age. No, he's 73. That cannot be.
Wow. Godfather of swinging as well, big time swinger.
He was born in 52, which means that in the Nixon era, he was just in his, like, early 20s. Wow. And he was doing all that shit. Anyways, I was going to say he looks really good, but he's young. Anyway, so he put up this post on Twitter of his new, he likes to fancy himself a fashion icon. He's got these goot suits and all this stuff. But now he's like doing what looks like horseback riding garb. I really could not tell what it is. What do you make
I'm
of
sure
this
there's,
look?
I suspect there's a fetish at play here, if I'm being honest with you. You know, he's wearing knee-high horse riding boots and black leather gloves up to, you know, his forearm. Yeah, I mean, you know, he puts out the worst and best dress list. He certainly, I will say, though, I mean, you got to hand it to him. He's pretty fit.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's doing the same needles that
there may be a little. There may be a little touch-up work going on here.
Maybe a little is understating it. Yeah, so what we have here, just as Will described it, he's got leather boots up to his knees. His pants, which are kind of MC Hammer-ish in terms of their width, are tucked into the boots. And then he's got these weird gloves that go up to, you know, fairly up his forearm. And he's, you know, got a white polo tee that's tucked in, and he's found the perfect amount of sunlight to cast a shadow at some balcony. And he's advertising a site called stoneswank.com. I have not visited it yet, and I don't plan to. But if people want to take a look and say, you know, suggest some outfits for me and Will. Oh, it's a fashion blog, according to our producer, Matt Marshall. Great. People should go check it out. And if they want to pick out an outfit for me, if we get to 200 paid subscribers.
Sam will wear the gloves and the riding right. crop.
New deal. 100 paid off of this video, I wear my Riesling hat on the next pod. 200 paid off of this video, I get some... 250 paid off of this next video, I get some outfit off of stoneswank.com, and I put it on for this next pod. All right, well, we couldn't find a picture of you playing football while we were on air, so we can't confirm whether or not you did.
That's surprising to me. It was a legendary run.
Yeah, but we did find a picture. You mentioned you don't go to the steroid gym. We did find a picture, actually, of you at the steroid gym. Let's put it up.
Whoa, that's what it looks like, honestly. Look at that, yeah.
Will, are you the type of guy that just skips legs days and just goes for the shoulder chest?
You know, I'm often tempted. I certainly do prefer my arm days, and yeah.
Oh, who doesn't prefer arm days?
You know, speaking of looks, Max and Sam, if I could make a brief point regarding the arc of this podcast or this show. You know, look, I know clavicular coverage, it's beloved by the listeners. There's a vocal minority who's critical of it. But we recently became aware of a 10-year-old who is tuning into MAGA Monday for clavicular updates. That is his main interest. So I just want to say, you know.
Wait, I'm not aware of this. Who's this?
I thought you were on this text thread. Someone told me they know their 10-year-old. It's like a friend of a friend. I heard that their 10-year-old is really into tuning into MAGA Monday because he wants clavicular updates. So, you know, look.
Do we have one?
This, you know, not at the moment. But I just wanted to give a shout out, and it shows me that MAGA Monday's demographics. Obviously, we have some older listeners. I think we're big in that key 18 to 34 demo, obviously, for the advertiser's sake. But now also 10-year-olds are getting into MAGA Monday. So I think what a wonderful community this is.
Yeah, it's a great community. It is honestly one of the best. I love our audience. I love the ability to do this with you every week. That said, I'm on vacation next week.
So. Yeah, me as well.
Okay, so there is no, as of now, folks, there will be no MAGA Monday next week. Will and I are off, which means you got to subscribe now, build up the anticipation for our triumphant return in 2 weeks' time. Will, appreciate you, buddy. Folks, again, just going to reiterate, 100 paid, I wear my Riesling hat in 2 weeks, 250 paid, I get some item off of stoneswank.com for the next episode in 2 weeks. There's a lot of people saying no and boo in the timeline. What am I supposed to do? I'm on vacation. What is Will supposed to do?
I will say there is a MAGA Monday tie-in to my vacation. I will be in Orange County, California, very close to Richard Nixon's favorite Mexican restaurant. And I've been before, and I've sat at the booth. I've eaten his preferred, I think, stuffed pepper. And so, you know, stay tuned if I make it back. And I'll certainly get a picture.
Take pictures.
The last time I was there, the rest of the family was busy. And I was like, well, whatever. I'm going to Richard Nixon's favorite Tex-Mex. And I went in and I was like, can I sit in the booth? And they were like, this is the most disturbing customer we've ever had. A lone man asking to sit in the Richard Nixon booth.
That's right on brand, though. I love it. All right. We're gonna have great reports from vacation. I apologize to the listeners. I'm sorry. We do need to take a break every now and then. We will be back in 2 weeks' time. I'm watching those stats, folks. I'm watching those stats. Subscribe to the feed. Subscribe to YouTube. Peace.